fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Welcome to the Happy Hour Garage, featuring a duo of racing gals who live for the thunder of horsepower, the smell of high-octane fuel, and burning rubber at 200 miles an hour. They believe a day at the Speedway is like a day at the spa. Together, they bring you NASCAR news and interviews and get you ready for the races each week. And now, here's your hosts, Shannon Yoakum and Maureen Kelly from the Happy Hour Garage.
Helen, start your engine.
Hey, welcome to the Friday snowy edition of the Happy Hour Garage. I'm your host, Shannon Yoakum from beautiful British Columbia, and I'm snowed in like mad. And today, joining me, Maureen, my usual co-host, is busy, so our PR guy, Buddy Toole, has kindly decided to step up to the plate. Thank you very much for coming on, Buddy. Good morning, good afternoon.
You're welcome. I'm kind of like when Johnny Carson was away from the Tonight Show and Ed McMahon stepped up, you know.
There you go.
70 degrees yesterday and snow flurries today down here in Johnson City. That's crazy.
Oh, the whole country is, like, the whole North American continent is acting crazy. I mean, I saw some horrible snow down Maureen's way and all up the coast to Connecticut and all up in there, and Canada, I mean, BC, we're just getting walloped. It's just unbelievable. We shoveled the driveway multiple times today, and it's supposed to snow some more tonight. Oh, goody. And then it's going to rain and be sunny on the weekend, so it'll all melt and flood like everything like mad. Poor Vancouver. I mean, they're just, wow. They're not equipped for snow to begin with. Nobody owns snow tires. They don't know how to drive in the snow. It's very hilly there. It's mountainous. And they've been getting walloped, and now they're getting freezing rain, and now they got rivers running down their roads. So it's just nasty.
See, that's interesting to us here in the States. We all, I think, at least I do, when I think of Canada in the wintertime, I think everybody's getting snow.
No.
It's just interesting to think about that. It's going to be 70 degrees here Sunday.
Nice. That's short weather.
Yes, I was telling someone today, I said, you remember back when you used to put your summer clothes away for the winter? Those days are gone.
Yeah. It's that global warming, or is that a warming?
Oh, no. We're told that's not a real thing.
Oh, that's an alternative fact. That's what that is.
That's right.
So what do you think about the announcements coming out this week in NASCAR? They're saying that if you can't fix your car in 5 minutes on pit road and you go to the garage, you got to stay there.
I kind of like it. And then on the old school side of me, it reminds me of our friend's Terry Parsons' husband,
Benny.
If that rule had been in place in 1973, Benny wouldn't have won the championship.
That's right.
So I'm kind of split. I understand it, and especially in the world of, you know, safety and precaution and everything, they don't want these guys putting these fenders on and then a fender coming off and cutting somebody's tire at a track like Daytona or Talladega and then something awful happening. You know, I can understand it. I think 5 minutes is fair. Plenty enough time. You know, these guys change four tires and fuel in under, 12 seconds now?
Mm-hmm.
They could do a lot in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So
I had to laugh. Somebody posted on Twitter yesterday or the day before, Brian France could give everybody $100 and half the fans would still bitch and complain.
What gets me about all that is these people that are complaining, they're still going to watch just so they can complain more.
Oh, God, I know.
If you don't like it, go away.
That's right.
I've gotten to the point where I tell people in the groups, if they're complaining, I tell them, well, why are you here then?
That's right. Yeah, go away. Mind you, it does give you something to poke fun at or to aggravate.
So, well, and there's a big difference in complaining and debating too.
Yes, that's right. Know. Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, there's a couple new rules this year, and we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, next week cars are on the track, so it's not very far away. Couple more announcements this week. I see Reagan Smith finally put out something. He's going to run the 92 truck for Ricky Benton Racing for 12 races, I believe, and then they're going to evaluate from there. I think they started the season out last year winning, getting three top tens, I believe it was. That team is obviously needing funding.
Well, and they had a cup driver in it last year, if I remember right, it was Gilliland. And he's the one that got those good runs for him. So mm-hmm. with the driver of Smith's, they've obviously got decent equipment. So maybe if Regan can get up there and have some good runs, maybe they can get a sponsor.
Yeah, that 92 truck is usually fairly competitive. So, you know, good for him. I mean, I'm sure it's a step down, but he's obviously hasn't got money to bring to the table to buy a ride like some of the others. And, you know, so be it. At least he's racing. You know, what I'm excited about is Mark Martin's coming to Canada to race. Yahoo!
Hall of Famer on the track.
yeah. Well, of course, we might be interviewing him after Daytona, maybe, just maybe, hopefully, but the track he's going to is called Riverside, and it's like a mini Bristol. Our NASCAR Canadian, well, not Canadian Tire Series anymore, they're called Pinty Series race there. That's our top racing group in Canada. Mark's not racing with them. He's racing with the late model show before that, which is a huge big show. I mean, fans go there for a week camping out, like 15,000 people in this little tiny town in Nova Scotia. It's crazy. And, he'll be a teammate to the owner of the track, Chisholm, who is always really dominant at that track. The guy's really got it figured out. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And to my knowledge, that's the first time a NASCAR Hall of Fame member, once being inducted into the Hall of Fame, has gotten back behind the wheel. I can't remember of anybody else that's done it.
Mm-hmm. No, I not off
maybe
the top
Terry
of my head.
Labonte, but I don't think he has.
Didn't Terry race something? Yeah, I think he did, actually.
He raced the year before he
Is that what it was?
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, you know, our boy is going to be eligible come 2019.
Yay.
He and Tony will go in together.
I'm sure. They're both Hall of Fame worthy. We're, of course, talking about Jeff Gordon. And yeah.
Yes.
In case people don't know that by now.
for new listeners, yes.
Yeah. No, he'll be on the first ballot, I'm sure. And I'm really hoping this year we get Smokey Eunuch on that ballot. They will be getting together at Daytona to pick the next five to be eligible for that. So hopefully, it seems to me like there's more pressure this year from writers and fans and crew chiefs to get Smokey on there. He does belong in there, and there's no question about that. So we're going to work hard on promoting that as well.
And we know one voter on the panel that'll put his name on there. He said it on the air, is Mr. Barry Dodson.
That's right. So there's one
vote
right there.
He wants him on there too.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, this should be good, and I'm looking forward to hopefully him getting on there. I know his daughter Trish said that, you know, he would just bide his time, but secretly, deep down, I think everybody wants to be recognized for their efforts at the highest level. You know,
I mean,
no matter what you say.
Darrell Walters said he was biding his time, and I think it hurt him that he didn't get in until the third year.
Yeah.
So, you know, people say things, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't always believe what they say.
That's right.
Well, you know, it'll be great to have cars back on the track next week. I can hardly wait. And this week we've got just a whack of people to talk to, including our guest today. He is just about to be, well, pretty soon, 20-year-old Auburn University sophomore building science major. He is going to be driving BHR Racing's ARCA car full-time this year after driving 7 races last year. I'd like to welcome to the show Brett Holmes. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for taking the time out of the day to call us today. I'm assuming you're in school today.
Yeah, I just had three or four classes today, but I appreciate you having me on.
No problem. And you're taking building sciences, you said?
Yes, it's kind of like a construction management. That's really what it's based around.
Ah, do you have to take architect stuff too, or is that just a course?
A little bit. It involves a lot of blueprints and designing, kind of like what architects do, but it really takes in all of that, a little bit in engineering and architecture. And my dad has a construction business, and I really enjoyed, like, you know, working with him and shadowing him the past couple of years. And I felt like that's what I wanted to do if, you know, racing didn't work out, if I had something to fall back on. So that's why I made that choice.
Well, hopefully the racing will work out for you. You're running full time this year, and that's a big step up. I mean, you had a pretty good year last year. Grant Enfinger's got a pretty good pedigree behind him. He was your crew chief for the 7 races you ran at ARCA. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like last year was really good, and it was a good stepping stone for me to get my feet wet in the series and, you know, first time driving, you know, those big of cars. And, you know, I think we had 3 top fives and 5 or 6 top tens, and one race we didn't finish. And but I felt like it was a big learning curve for me, and it really should have been a lot better. We should have won Nashville, I think, and just the pit strategy didn't really work out there at the end, and we still had 4 new tires left in the pits, so that was a little frustrating. And I felt like on my end, I made a couple of mistakes throughout the season that I felt like if I was more experienced, the results would have been a lot more different. So that's what I'm really looking forward to this year, with more experience on my shoulder, on my back. And, you know, I'm just really happy to have our team built up and established like we do now. So I'm really excited to see what comes of this year.
Yeah, you had 7 starts, 6 top tens, and 3 top fives. That's really impressive. But I am going to start by giving you a little bit of a jab, and your PR guy told me to as well. I am from Augusta, Georgia, and I am a huge UGA fan. So we are on opposite sides of the oldest rivalry in the South.
Yeah, I think Auburn and Georgia were like one of the first, you know, first rivalries there ever
was. Sure was.
So.
But my serious question is, how much of an impact do you think the move of the shop from Alabama to the Charlotte, you know, the hub area of all of auto racing, stock car racing at least, is going to help with the team growth?
I think that was the best choice for us. I mean, you just, it's so hard not to be there. I mean, you know, you look at some teams like Thor Sport, who's in Ohio, even on them, it's tough because, you know, whenever they have to come to, you know, they have to come to North Carolina, make a lot of trips to North Carolina for chassis stuff, wind tunnel things. And honestly, that's where the people's at. You know, there's so many experienced people around that area. I mean, where I'm from, Munford, Alabama, I mean, not a lot of people have heard of. And, you know, there's just not a lot of people with that experience around our area. I mean, yeah, sure, late models and stuff like that, everybody's done a little bit of that. But it's just logistics-wise and people-wise, it's so hard to find, so hard to run it out of, you know, anywhere other than there. So I think, you know, being up there is really going to help us, especially being – right next to GMS and everything they're doing for us this season. I definitely think it was the best move.
And you've got a new crew chief from our friend of the show, JD Motorsports, Brian Berry. That should be exciting.
Yeah, it'll be really cool to see what comes with that. I think it'll be really good. And he's got a lot of experience, especially in the truck and Xfinity series, and a lot of that carries over from, you know, those bigger cars with truck arms, and a lot of that stuff carries over to the ARCA series. So I'm really interested to see how it'll play out. I mean, me and him communicate really well. And actually, one of his brother, Bob Berry, is from Oxford, Alabama. And that's kind of how me and my dad knew got in touch with Brian. So it was really cool how that worked out, and you know how small of a world it actually is.
You mentioned your dad there. How much did it mean to you and your father for you to go and beat his records at the Talladega Short Track? I'm sure that was pretty cool for both of you.
Yeah, I you know, I still to this day don't know if he was really happy or mad. But I mean, I don't know how I'd have been in that situation too. But I thought that was really special, and you know, it allowed me to give him hell sometimes. You know, I just tell him, I went faster than him, and so he can't really tell me nothing. So I'll always give him that little bit every time. And but it was really cool. I mean, I just growing up and, you know, growing up and watching races there, and actually getting to do it is kind of surreal and weird to think about. And you know, actually the guy I outran that night used to be my old T-ball coach. So it's funny how that stuff works out, you know.
Well, remind your dad that when Dale Earnhardt tied 7 and when Jimmy Johnson tied 7, he says records are meant to be broken, and that come from the king.
That's exactly right.
Did your dad's dad also race, or was your dad the first one to sort of dive into the racing world?
Yeah, my dad. Well, yeah, actually, nobody's ever asked me that. My dad was actually the first to get into it. He really got into it when the Allisons would come and like test at Talladega, and he would skip school and go help them. And that's how he really got interested with it. And obviously, right across the road there, Talladega Short Track. But you know, at first when he started out, he used to be just one of those good old boy racers that had an open trailer and didn't really set up the car, you know, didn't take that much time on it, just really enjoyed it. And then he started getting serious about it and built a shop and you know, started getting into it and all the setup stuff with the chassis builders and rebuilding shocks. And I'm you know, for me, I'm really glad he made that decision. I mean, I love it, love the sport, and you know, I don't really have an interest in any other sport, but and doing any other thing, but you know, it really kind of molded me to do what I'm doing today. And and I think he really wanted to see that happen. So that's really been my goal, is just to make it as far as I can and make him happy.
Did you you must have helped him work on the car and stuff too, did you?
Yeah, well, so, you know, he was doing it ever since I was born. He started doing it back in his mid-20s. So I grew up watching, and, you know, eventually when I got a little bit more mature, I started working at the shop after school and a little bit and over the summer. So that's really when I got started, you know, get a lot more interested in and learning more about it. I started back when I was, you know, 6 or 7 years old racing go-karts, but you know, I didn't really know that much. I didn't know, you know, what to do as far as working on them. But, like I said, when I got more mature, I just, you know, I worked on it with the shop foreman there, and that's how I really got experience with it.
That's always good. I think drivers that know how to work on cars understand how to make the car better when it's on the track, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you take a lot of people, you know, for example, like Grant Ensinger. I mean, he is one of the most hands-on people I know. And, you know, even in late, you know, all the way from his whole career, he's always worked and set up his cars and been there when it's happened. And that's what he's been going back and forth from Thor Sport. And he still lives in North Carolina. That's an 8-hour drive. And he's still going back and forth every week there. And, I think it's really important as a driver, just when you're at the racetrack and, you know, you feel something and you make a change and you kind of know in what direction you want to go with that change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes a huge difference. Absolutely. Do you, is that who you kind of model yourself after in the ARCA series?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I can't think of anybody else. I mean, me and Grant, I mean, us building a relationship over the past 2 years has been really cool, and both growing up in the same state and racing at some of the same tracks and late models like Fire Flag Speedway, South Alabama Speedway, and Mobile, and just getting to just really relying on him for a lot of feedback and what I need to be doing as a driver, and because he's been there and done that, and he's done it for a long time, so and won a lot of races, obviously. So that's who I really have, probably one of my biggest role models, because I'm trying to do what he's trying to do and just move up in the sport. And I know, I'm sure everybody has somebody that, you know, they rely on like that, but I'd say him for sure.
Being from Alabama, have you had any interactions with Bobby and Donnie? We've had Bobby on, and we're going to have Donnie on in the future. I was just curious if you've ever met them or if you've ever gotten any tips.
Yeah, a little bit, actually. I mean, I haven't gotten many, like, tips from them. I mean, you know, the cars have changed so much over the years. But I've met them a couple times, and actually at Salem Speedway this past year with the ARCA series, they do, like, a lot of – they started doing some throwback schemes and stuff like that. And we represented his logo on our hood, and he was actually there too. So he was actually at the race too. So I thought that was really cool too. And, you know, we finished third that night, but that's been a few times I've gotten to meet him. But, you know, obviously I'm not to their standards yet. I still got a lot more to prove before, you know, you really consider me or Grant in the Alabama gang. I think, I mean, those guys and what they did is, so immense to what we're doing right now. So that's just what I'm trying to prove.
Well, I got to say, you're off to a good start. 7 starts and 6 top tens. Ain't too shabby. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it can always be better, though. I mean, you always got room to improve.
Are you going to be driving the 23 car, or you got a different number now?
No, we'll be driving the 23, and that's actually this past season. You know, we only made 7 starts with it. Grant made 1 at Pocono, and then Tommy Prater and his team, they throughout the year, they kept the owner points up with it. When we weren't racing, they raced it. So the owner points kept up. So we'll kind of have the golden egg for this season, and, you know, be guaranteed. The main reason was so we were guaranteed a spot if a practice or qualifying ever got rained out. So that was really helpful too.
And I guess next week you'll be traveling to Daytona.
Oh yeah, for sure. Actually, this tonight I'll be driving to Statesville. We got to, you know, do a few little things before we start loading up. But yeah, we'll be heading. I've got class on Wednesday and skipping class on Thursday to go up there. But practice starts Thursday and Friday, and qualifying's Friday afternoon, and the race will be Saturday. It's pretty exciting. I mean, it's you know, that's ARCA's biggest race. I mean, they've got so many people watching that. It's opening for Speed Weeks, and so many drivers there, and even trying to make the race. And you know, it would be really special if we had a good showing there.
Have you ever raced on a super speedway that big before?
Yeah, we raced at Talladega this past season.
Right, I always forget which you're from there. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's 10 minutes from my house, and that was really cool too. I mean, I just like I said, from growing up from that area and having so many people around there coming to support me, and you know, nobody around that area has really gotten to do anything like that, and that's what made it really special, I think, and racing right across the road too. So we started, I think, 12th or 13th, and finished 10th, and that was my first super speedway race, and I made a little mistake at the end that probably cost us a 5th or 6th place finish. But like I said, I've still got a few things to work on my end, but I think at the test I really improved on some things.
That's right. You were just testing at Daytona, what, in mid-January?
Yeah, that's right. We were 8th overall fastest out of 50, 60 cars, something like that. So we feel like we're in the ballpark. We got ahead a little bit to improve on, and I think we did that, you know, this past month. So I'm really looking forward to see what our, you know, what our improvements did.
Well, what growing up on the short tracks and racing at Talladega, your state's track, big track, what's the culture shock like? I mean, what's that transition like? You know, you grew up on dirt short tracks and then asphalt short tracks, and then you're going, well, those ARCA cars go about 190 mile an hour, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's been huge. I mean, just to be honest with you, I feel like I've been, you know, changing a driving style every 2 years or so. I've gotten in something 2 years and gotten out of it and moved on to something else. So I'm constantly learning stuff. And but yeah, before that, I had tested Daytona last year too, but as far as racing goes, I haven't done anything like that. And going from, you know, the biggest racetrack me racing on is like a 5/8 or 3/4 mile, and going up to 2.7 was just huge. And I don't know how else to say it, but and going that fast too, but it was definitely a little hard to make that transition. But I mean, just after watching a bunch of videos and talking to Grant and doing the Daytona test, I think I was, you know, still a little prepared for it. But this season, obviously, with the experience I've got now, I feel like I'll have a better shot.
Well, that speaks to your talent level too. I'm not sure if you realize or not, but you've won in every level that you've raced in thus far, except for the, you know, your future wins in the ARCA series, which I fully expect.
I guarantee you we will eventually win the ARCA series. But I've thought about that too. And you know, I mean, there's a few people that, you know, can say that, but there's a lot of people that can't. And that makes me really happy about myself and making these transitions and, you know, all the different things we've had to work with. And that's not what I'm not really still happy with it. I want to keep moving up. And you know, my dad always preached to me, if you know, you can win, everything takes care of itself. So that's the goal, and to move on to the next level and to see how high I can go.
Well, I gotta say, doing the research for this show with you, you made a fan out of me. I can see you're a talented young man, and I expect that you're going to do very well beyond the ARCA series in the future.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Well, and you got a big audience to show off to at Daytona, like you said, for Speed Week. So it's pretty exciting. And are you just going to stay in Auburn and finish school, I guess, for this year? What year are you in of your before you get your degree?
With the whole racing deal, I've, you know, not been able to take as many hours as I've wanted to, and I've still stayed a full-time student. So I'll probably be a fifth or sixth year senior, but to be completely honest with you, if I feel like I'm ready to, after this season, if we've had a lot of success and a few wins and hopefully a championship under our belt, I feel like we might make the move to trucks the next season. And it'd be really hard to go to school and do that. So I'm not really sure as far as that goes yet, but I'd love to have my degree before I really pursue racing. But if, you know, if that chance comes, I got to take it.
Oh, absolutely. And you can always get finish off your degree later in life. I didn't get my degree till I was 36. So there's hope for you. you can go win the ARCA championship, go get a ride in trucks, move your way up to Xfinity and hopefully Cup. And all that'll probably take, you know, 10 years at the max, right? You're only not quite 20 yet. So, hey, lots of time.
Well, we're just worried about this year for right now.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. One of my Canadian fellow racers, Sarah Cordiching, raced in that when she first went down south there in the first season, and found it to be very good learning ground and stuff. So do you know her by chance?
Yeah, I think I've raced against her a couple of times with the ARCA series, not in a late model before, but I've never really gotten to personally meet her, but we have raced against each other a couple of times.
Oh, that's good. Well, we wish you all the best of luck, and we'll be cheering for you at Daytona for sure. You got a great crew chief there to help you along, and I'm sure you'll do fine. We really have enjoyed talking to you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
Good. You got anything else for him, buddy?
Nope. Just thanks for coming on, Brett. I'll be watching next Saturday and pulling for you.
All right, great.
We hope you've enjoyed hanging out in the Happy Hour Garage. Thanks for tuning in. Please join Shannon and Maureen next week for another episode of NASCAR News, interviews, and stories. Check out our website at www.happyhourgarage.com for our previous shows and see what's coming up next.